verses from 1 and 2 Corinthians, but hold your place there in Luke 5, and then we'll look very briefly at 1 and 2 Corinthians as we dive into the message this evening. And I am thankful. It is exciting to me. It's certainly a blessing to see what God is doing and how the Lord is working in the lives of the next generation. You think about these children sitting up here, and it's a generational influence, a desire that we have to make an impact in those that are coming behind us, pass that baton, so to speak. Jennifer mentioned how that Lydia and Natalie will be graduating, and it's hard to believe as they progress through and they now finish junior church, and certainly thankful for their involvement and their growth. And before long, I think she said that Braden was one of the youngest in there. Before long, he'll be graduating, and that's just how it works. And we are thankful to see what God is doing. I believe this evening it certainly is a joy to serve the Lord and to be used in His vineyard. And the reality is that it's His work, and we are privileged to be able to serve Him. And I am thankful for the opportunity. I believe that it's important for us to regularly remind ourselves that we are laborers together with God. And the reality is that the believers in the church in Corinth had to be reminded of this truth in both the first and second letter that Paul writes to them under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, you have your place there in Luke. We'll be there in just a moment. It'll be our text for our message. But by way of introduction, let me just remind you of what Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, reminded these believers in Corinth. Notice in verse number 9 of 1 Corinthians 3, it says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building." Remember, the church in Corinth, there were divisions, there were schisms, there were problems in the church at Corinth, and there were some that said, "I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Cephas," and so on and so forth. And we find that Paul says, notice what he says in verse number 5, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos?" But notice these next two words, but ministers, by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I am thankful to be a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am thankful to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says we are laborers together with God. In verse number 9, notice in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 6, 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, Paul is going to remind this same church of the importance of this truth that we are laborers together with God. Here, he uses it this way, the phraseology in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse number 1. Notice he says, "We then," notice how he phrases this, "as workers together with Him." Workers together with Him. "Beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain." What a blessing to be a worker, a co-laborer with the Lord, understanding that we are workers together with Him. We understand this evening that the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And I mentioned, and you're turning back over to Luke chapter number 5, in our Sunday school class this morning, I mentioned that the local church, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and we find that truth throughout the Scripture. We find that Jesus said, "I will build my church." We find that it says that He is the head of the body, the church, in Colossians 1 and verse number 18. And we find that He is the head of the church. It is His church. The church is the bride of Christ. I'm thankful that Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, according to Ephesians chapter number 5. We find that Christ is the head of the church, and He has established offices for leadership. And we find that throughout the pages of Scripture. And we find that not only has He established the offices for leadership, but we find also that He's equipped His people to carry out His work. As we look in Luke chapter number 5, there's a statement that is made in verse number 7 that we'll use for our title this evening. And look at verses 6 and 7 with me in Luke 5, and we'll dig in this evening. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 5, in verse number 6, we're jumping right in the middle. Let me just back up in verse number 1 and read the whole text. "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets." Now, who they wanted to hear was the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted to hear Him teach. And the Bible says that He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. We're going to look at verse 6 and 7 as our real text for this evening, for this thought. But we find for background, understanding what's taking place, these men had fished all the night. We find that Peter says to the Lord Jesus Christ, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. That's a bad night of fishing. And the purpose of going fishing is to catch, especially if you're in the business that they were in. This was a commercial business. It was how they made their living. And we find that they say they've toiled all the night and they've caught nothing. And we find that they were washing their nets, according to verse number 2. That was, of course, an important part of their labor and what they would do. And Jesus teaches those that are gathered, and after he teaches them, he gives the instruction to Peter to launch out into the deep. We find that he says, let down your nets for a draught. And Peter is kind of perplexed at the instruction. Normally, they would not cast into the deep in order to fish. That was not the mode by which they would use. And we find that he says, nevertheless, at the end of verse number 5, at thy word I will let down the net. Notice Jesus told him to let down your nets, and Peter says, I will let down the net. Singular versus plural. Every word of God is pure, and we understand the significance there, really another message in of itself. But this evening, as we look at this, in verse number 6, again, for the message that is before us, the Bible says in verse number 6, and when they had this done, so they obeyed, of course, going out, launching out into the deep, letting down one of the nets, not all of the nets, just letting down a single net, and it says that they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. So much so that the Bible says that their net break. But then notice this phrase in verse number 7. It'll be the title for the message this evening. And they beckoned unto their partners. They beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. That's an amazing miracle that we read of in this portion of Scripture. And we could look at so many things from Luke chapter number 5 and learn so many lessons. I've titled the lesson this evening, They Beckoned Unto Their Partners. We had this children's program and the opportunity to see what God is doing and how God is working through a particular ministry of our church. And I'm so thankful that we can be laborers together with God. That's why we looked at 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians and looking at that reminder that God gave to the believers at the church in Corinth, because we are laborers together with God. This is not a situation where we can work independently of God, nor is it a situation where we work independently of one another. I think about the ministry as a whole of our church, Fellowship Baptist Church, and I think about the various ministries that God would allow us to have, and understanding that it is a privilege to serve in any of those ministries. It is a privilege, I find. Paul says this. Let me read the verse to you as we get into the thought this evening. But Paul is writing to his son in the faith in 1 Timothy chapter number 1. And I love the way that he says it in 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 12. He says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful. Notice it says, putting me into the ministry. And when we keep that perspective, it helps us to appreciate the opportunities that God would give us to serve the Lord. The psalmist says he'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. And you think about that, the reality is that we're focused on serving the Lord. I think about the opportunity that we have to have children's ministry. We think about the children that were just here. And oftentimes we speak of it being junior church or children's church. And that is a ministry that the Jennifer and Lena have the opportunity to be able to participate in and use their gifts, talents, and abilities to be able to serve God in that capacity. We have student ministry classes on Wednesday evening, and I know that often we'll refer to it as maybe Miss Holly's class, but really it's the class that Holly is allowed to teach. And I don't say allowed in the sense of saying that it's a permission granted thing as much as it's a privilege to be able to serve the Lord in whatever capacity God would give us. Deanna teaches a class on Wednesday evening as well as Brother Jeff. And these are the classes that God has given them an opportunity on Wednesday evening to be able to teach in. Sunday school, Brother Mark has a class. And it's not Mark's class. It's a class that Mark has the opportunity to teach. And what a privilege to be able to understand that we're laborers together with God, that God has established within a local church not only the offices for leadership, but He has equipped His people in order to carry out the mission. I think about even a service like we've had this evening. We've had people that have used their talents and abilities to play instruments. We have people that have led music or an individual that has led music. We have people that work the sound booth, that deal with the audio visual so that those that are not able to be here in person can still see. So there's a recording of this children's program. I know that many were using their phones, but there's a recording of this children's program that will be made available. Why? Because somebody's working in that ministry. The reality is that there's not any individual that can do all of that at the same time, and I am thankful that we can be laborers together with God. As we look specifically in Luke chapter number 5, I want you to notice with me just a few thoughts. We'll be brief this evening, but number one, notice what they recognized. Notice what they recognized. As we look back at Luke chapter number 5, in verse number 6, the Bible says, when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. I'm sure there's a variety of emotions that take place at this particular moment. First, there's a measure of excitement. They have all of these fish. They've toiled all the night, and they've taken nothing. They follow the direction, at least partially, that the Lord Jesus Christ has given, and they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, the excitement that must have been in that moment. But then it turns very quickly, the emotions turn to, we have a problem. The problem is that the Bible says that the net break, and we find that here, as we think about what it was that they recognized first of all that the task was too great for them. The task was too great for them. They needed assistance. The task was greater than their ability. And they recognized that, and therefore the Bible tells us in verse number 7 that they beckoned unto their partners. They called out. Can you imagine the urgency in their voices as they would call out for help because of the circumstances that we read in verse number 6? They have enclosed this great multitude of fishes, and their net now has broken. And I believe that they're calling out with a level of urgency. They recognize that that the task is greater than what they can do, that they were in need of assistance. I would say this evening, as we would look at this particular account and make spiritual application in our lives this evening with regard to serving the Lord and the capacity that God has given us, that we too must recognize that the task is too great for us. The task is too great for us. We need the touch of God on our lives. We cannot do it in our own power. We are laborers together with Him, with God. And we find that we need the power of God. We need the touch of God. If we're going to serve God, if we're going to fulfill the ministry that God has given us to fulfill, we need God's power. I pray, I hope that you do as well. I pray that as Dean stands up and leads music, that Dean would be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, that Dean would be in a position where God could use him as he leads music. I pray for Kimberly as she plays the instrument, the piano. I pray for the individuals as they play the various instruments, that they would be filled with God's power. There's a certain element of talent that is associated with playing those instruments, but it's not just about talent. We need the touch of God. See, because during a song service, God is working. We're worshiping the Lord. Our song, our singing is to bring honor and glory to our God. We find that the Bible says that we're to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And it is absolutely imperative that those that are leading music, those that are playing the music, that they're filled with the Spirit of God. If we're not careful, sometimes we think, well, that's for the preacher. Oh, I need to be filled with the Spirit of God as well, and I pray that God would empty me of self and fill me with His Spirit and with His power, that I might stand behind this sacred desk and preach the Word of God plainly and clearly and with power and with liberty. I pray that. But you understand this evening, it's not just the preacher that needs the Holy Spirit power of God. As we serve God in our individual roles and responsibilities, we need the touch of God on our lives. We need His power. We find that not only do we need His power, do we need the Lord. The task is too great for us individually. We cannot do it without Him. But we also find that we cannot do it alone, meaning it's not a one-man show. We find that there's a church is assembled and God brings the pieces together, and we find that in the book of 1 Corinthians He uses the analogy of a body. The church is a body, and every member has its own responsibilities, and the reality is that as each individual understands what their responsibility and role is and they fulfill that, then collectively we can accomplish what God has for us to accomplish. It's not an individual situation. And so we find what they recognized. Number two, notice what they requested. Very simply stated, they requested help. The Bible says that they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come, notice, and help them. I know that sometimes in life, if we're not careful, we really struggle with asking somebody for help. There are individuals that have certain personalities, and it's certain types of personalities. They really struggle with asking for help. We struggle sometimes even for asking God for help. But we find that the Bible says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He is our divine helper. And we understand this evening that He is a very present help in the time of trouble, and we need His help for everyday tasks that He gives us to do. It's not just that we need His help when there's some big thing going on in our lives. No, we need His help every single day. The reality is that we often, as we look here at these men in Luke chapter number 5, they needed help from their partners. It says that they beckoned unto their partners. And we can accomplish more through partnership than we can by ourselves. We can accomplish more through partnership than we can by ourselves. Now, understanding we're laborers together with God, and we understand the importance of the objective of what is our goal as a local church. Our goal is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Our goal is to edify the believers. Our goal is to evangelize the world. And we cannot do that individually. We need God's help, but we need to cooperate one with another in order to carry out that mission of the local church. As we think about the overall service of our local church, we think about the Great Commission, evangelizing the world. We're a light here in this community. But the reality is that we're to preach the gospel to every creature. We're to go to all the world and preach the gospel. And we find that we have partners that we've partnered with, missions, that we have a missions map. And we partner with those folks in order to carry out the Great Commission. And what a blessing. But it's not just that we partner with our missionaries, but we partner one with another. We say, this is the role that God has equipped you for. You have been gifted by God. You have been equipped by God in order to serve in this capacity, and you have the privilege of being able to serve in that capacity so that ultimately this local church can bring God honor and glory. And that's what it's all about. And we find that they requested this help. They recognized that the task was beyond them. They recognized that they could not do it in of themselves. It was greater than what their ability was. Yes, we understand this evening, spiritually speaking, we need God's help, but we need one another's help. And they made that request. I want you to notice very quickly in closing what they received. Notice in verse number 7, It says that they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship that they should come and help them. Again, I believe there was an element of urgency in this request that they make in verse number 7 because of the circumstances of this multitude of fishes and the fact that their net has now broken, and we find that when the net breaks, the fish escape. That's what happens. And so there's a measure of urgency in this request, and we find that what they received, notice these words in verse number 7, and they came. And they came. They is the partners that are mentioned in verse number 7 to start the verse. And those partners went to the place where Peter was with his boat, where he had launched out into the deep in order to let down that net. He was told to let down nets. But we find that they came. And it says that they filled both the ships so that they began to sink. That's amazing to me. Both the ships, so that they began to sink. Can you imagine what Peter and the others must have thought as they were experiencing this firsthand, as they were seeing that Christ said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draft. And we find that Peter, it had a great impact on him as he comes back, and it says in verse number 8 that he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. And then we find that Jesus says in verse number 10, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. In another portion of Scripture it says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And we find that these partners responded and they provided the assistance that was needed, the assistance that they recognized they needed some help. And we find that these partners, they responded, and both ships were filled to the point that they begin to sink. What's the application for us as we look at this portion of Scripture? And again, we could look at Luke 5 from so many different aspects, but this evening I want to look at it from this perspective of we are laborers together with God. And as we've had the opportunity to see these children and to see what's taking place, look, most of us, we don't see all that they're doing downstairs on a Sunday morning. But they're fulfilling their role. They're fulfilling their role. And as they're fulfilling their role, and we think about the application this evening, that when we work together with the Lord and with one another, we are able to see what God is able to do. We're able to see what God is able to do. God is the one that caused these fishers to have this great catch that's recorded in Luke chapter number 5. This was beyond their own ability. This was not something that they could do. In fact, if it were up to Peter, he never even would have gone out. He would have just said, no, we've already tried. We've done it all night. We've already washed the nets. We'll try again later. But when they obeyed the Lord, at least partially, because it was net, not nets, but when they obeyed the Lord, and then they work together, we find that they were able to have this great blessing. This evening, when we work together, when we're laborers together with God, we get to see what God alone can do. Listen, God can do far greater than what any of us can do individually. Without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Oh, how desperately we need the touch of God upon our lives, upon our ministry. Oh, how desperate we need to be able to work together so that we could see what God is able to do. As we work together, as we strive together for the faith of the gospel, Philippians 1 and verse 27, we receive the blessing of God. They had a blessing here. They received this great draft of fishes. They had so many that these two ships begin to sink. And this evening, we can have the blessing of God. And it's amazing to see what God can do. See, as we look at this portion of Scripture, we do not see anywhere in this text where they are interested in them as individuals receiving some level of recognition, of them being the one that is given the accolades, if you will. And in the work of God, it's not any of us as individuals. When they're there in Corinth and in 1 Corinthians 3, when they're saying, I'm of Paul and I'm of Cephas and I'm of Apollos and so on and so forth, Paul is very, very careful not to take any recognition in that, not to get puffed up in that, not to become prideful or arrogant in that situation. No, he says, I'm just a minister. I'm just a servant. I've been equipped by God and I seek to use my talent, my gift, for the Lord to bring honor and glory to His name. It's like John the Baptist. He must increase, I must decrease. And this evening, as we think about this idea, this truth of Luke chapter number 5, I hope this evening we would take that same reminder that the church in Corinth was given, and we would recognize tonight that it is a blessing to serve the Lord. It's a privilege to serve God. And we are laborers together with God. We cannot, the work is greater than any of us. It's greater than any of us. We need God. We need a touch from God. But we need to work together as well. We're laborers together with God. And as each individual, remember the truth of 1 Corinthians and the analogy that is given with regard to the body, every member has to do its part. I'm thankful that I have a right hand and a left hand. I often talk about how my left hand is kind of doesn't work real well. My right hand works a whole lot better than my left hand does. But you know, there are a lot of things that I could not do if I had two right hands. There are certain things that I can accomplish because my hands work together. Does that make sense? Have you ever tried to tie your shoe with one hand? It's a challenge. I broke my thumb, tore ligaments when I was a senior in high school, had to have surgery. As a 17-year-old that spent hours in the gym every day that didn't look like what I look like now, I could not tie my shoe because I had a thumb that didn't work. You go ahead and try to do some things without a thumb. Seriously. It's so important. And God has Paul use that analogy for the church to understand how every member works together and accomplishes for God, with God, the task that God has left for us. And ultimately, that's to bring honor and glory to Him. And what a privilege to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this evening, whatever it is, whatever part God has given us, we ought to strive to do it to the best of our ability and say, thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to serve you in this capacity. You say, well, it's only... No. You're serving the King. You're serving the King. And as each of us do our part, we get to see what God is able to accomplish collectively. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the privilege of being able to gather together this evening. I thank you for the opportunity to have some time in our service to hear and see what the children have learned this summer through this children's ministry. Lord, I'm thankful for the work that has been done, the labor that has been invested, the influence that has taken place in the lives of these young people. We think about the future generation of our church, and at times, if we're not careful, we can look at children as maybe making messes, getting in the way, but those are the future church members, church song leaders, preachers, and instrumentalists, and so on and so forth. And God, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to serve you together. We thank you for whatever opportunities you would give us, and I pray that as you would give us those opportunities, that we would serve you in the greatest capacity that we possibly could, that we would rely upon your power and your Spirit, that we would do all that we do for your honor and for your glory, that you alone would receive the glory that is due unto your name. Thank you for our church. I thank you, God, for the opportunities that we have to serve you. I thank you for the various ministries. I thank you, God, for each individual that has served, that has given of their time and their talents in order to serve you in the capacity in which you have equipped them to do so. I pray, God, that you'd help us to understand the importance of laboring together with you. I thank you for enabling us and equipping us. I pray that you'd be glorified through our lives. Bless now as we respond to the time of invitation. Perhaps there's someone that, Lord, you're speaking to their heart about a particular area of service. And Lord, maybe there's something in someone's life that you've just touched in their heart and their life with regard to responding to you. I pray, Lord, that we'd be doers of the word and not hearers only. And we'll thank you for the work that you'll do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Would you stand?